Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today is Mentor Monday, and we have one quick reminder from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. Get your entries in early. It's a win-win. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am joined today by Valerie Nunes Atkinson, and I am super excited to hear about some fun stuff that Val's working on. And so, Valerie, let's start with some basics. I think at this point, pretty much everybody knows Valerie and CJ, but let's have a little background. Not everybody has the whole story. A little bit.
A little bit?
Just a little bit. I wanted to do this since I was 11. Go.
Actually, it was 7.
Okay, well.
Anyway. Yes, I've been showing and breeding short hairs for my entire lifetime. I'm a second generation breeder. I went to school, got a degree in journalism, and decided I was always kind of showing dogs for people part-time, but then it was my passion. It was just what I was meant to do and be, and I can remember the day I went back to my parents and I said, my degree is not going to a waste, but this is what I want to do. And they wholeheartedly supported me and said, if you can find something that you're passionate about, it'll never be going to work a day in your life. And so that's really what this is all about for me. It's a passion, whether it be handling, training, conditioning, breeding dogs, and maybe that's why we've had some good success, because it's something I really love.
And it shows.
Yeah.
I think that's important. So now you are taking some of that passion and some of that love and you're paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have some information in our show notes, links to some of the information about seminars, but you had a couple different topics that you were telling me about just now that I think are really, really interesting and people are going to be excited. So I want you to not just tell them what you're going to do, but also give them some of the tips.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll get through a few of them here.
Just a little bit. A taste.
Yeah, a taste. All right. So I had some interest internationally about doing some seminars, something I've done locally and for my juniors. I've always been involved with the junior programs, both all breed and through my parent club, the German Shorthair Pointer Club. And I think that's really important. Obviously, you do too. I know that. So we're huge junior advocates. I mean, I've trained privately and forever, but I've had some interest internationally to do handling seminars, of which looks like I'll be doing some in 2018. So I'm very excited about that. And they'll cover the basics, your basic beginner, intermediate, teaching everything from walking in the ring, how to hold the lead, how to stack the dog, how to move. You know, we'll go through the basics and then an intermediate advance. But beyond those two classes, I think I've come up with a couple different things that I think are really exciting and two things that we hear about. So one of the things we always hear about, you and I, is that the amateur or the owner handler cannot compete with the professional handler. So that's one of the seminars. I want to bring the person that already has a pretty good idea how to show, finish dogs, you know, maybe trying to special something, but they want to raise their game. They want to go to the next level. They want to start placing in groups. They want to win groups. They want to win best in shows. Mm-hmm. How do they do that? How do they compete with the professionals?
Right.
And so there's a lot more to, I think a lot of people take the easy way out. And I think we spoke about this in another podcast.
Yeah, we did.
They take the easy way out and, you know, they want to just blame it on the professionals. It's politics. They know the judges. Well, this is our business. We do this 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. And there's a lot more that goes into preparing and presenting that special that is consistently maybe winning groups or best in shows. So that's what we're going to get into. It's not just the handling. Yes, we would get into polishing someone's skills, looking at their dog objectively per the standard, seeing where the attributes are and maybe where some of the faults are, and talking about that, how to show some off, how to hide mm-hmm. others, proper dressing so that you're not taking away from your dog, but maybe adding to your dog. So the overall polish, conditioning, training, right. is huge. A lot of owner handlers, I think because they have a job that's mm-hmm. 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, 8 to 10 hours a day, they are doing well to get home, take care of their dog, maybe get a trim on it if they need to, bath it, and get to the dog show the next morning. So if they want to win and be consistent at the highest level, there's a lot more that goes into it. So I want to cover
maybe
that.
Maybe that extra hour early that you do your yoga, instead you take your dog for a road work.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's one of the things right. you hear the most from judges right. is mm-hmm. the dogs have no muscle. They have no condition. They're a little doughy. They're not solid and hard in muscle. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into it. Mm-hmm. You and I know that.
Oh, yeah. And it can be hard for us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're on the road for 3 weeks straight?
You have to figure out other
ways. How are we
ways.
Doing that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And people will be able to sign up for these and that right. sort of thing. So that will be...
Yes. Well, I mean, the way it's set up, basically, is that dog clubs mm-hmm. will sponsor me.
Perfect.
So they'll bring me Perfect. In. And the way it's set up financially is that there's a set fee and mm-hmm. a certain percentage goes to mm-hmm. them. So they can cover mm-hmm. my expenses. And the minimum, it's going to cover expenses. If we bring in the maximum number, mm-hmm. usually it's around 25 people, then they make money. The club right. makes money too. Right. So right. it's a win-win situation.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Put that degree to good work.
Yeah. But the other one that I'm really excited about is yeah. the puppy one, because yes. I love, you know, I mean, you just caught me. Yeah. I was walking my three pets right. around the dog show. CJ's, he's yeah. kind of semi-retired. And so he's been sitting in the motorhome all day right. and he's like, excuse me,
Hello.
When are we going? But is puppy training. And right. not just training your puppy to get it in the ring. It's how to raise that puppy.
Yes.
And how to bring that puppy along. I'm tentatively calling the class How to Raise That Rockstar Show Dog mm-hmm. or Rockstar Puppy, because that's what we all want. And right. not every puppy is going to have that it factor that we talk about. But if you start young, and I mean really young.
Eight weeks?
Yeah.
6 weeks?
How about when they're newborns?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When my babies are newborns and we have them in the mm-hmm. whelping box and they're nursing, lots of people want to go, why do your shorthairs always hold their tail up? Well, when they're nursing, we are stroking their tails, and all our babies nurse with their tails straight up. And we encourage that right mm-hmm. from the day they're born. So nice. I don't know if that even nice. Works, if that's real, but
in a way, that's
what
that's
we
okay.
do, and I
that's
have success okay. with it. So I don't know. But how to bring your baby along right. from lead breaking it to...
How to pick it out.
Oh, well, how to pick it out. I mean, that's a whole nother seminar.
Right. Because, and see that, yeah. I think, to me, when you look at those puppies,
right.
and you're watching them from, okay, now, which one carries its tail the best? Which
right.
one
right.
is always first? Which one's out of the box first? Which
right.
one's... Those things that you have now watched your dogs and you know...
Right, right.
You know,
that's a lifetime of a breeding program to be able
it
to
is.
Look at something
right.
and kind of see where it's going to go to. Mm-hmm. But even that throws you for some loops. We've had a couple recently. I mean, I had one, just a side note, I graded a litter. We kept a bitch. You know, we were getting a little bit of size, so we were concerned about that. We wanted to make sure we didn't get size, take the one. So I actually let the one go that I thought was going to be the one that would be maybe a little bit too much bitch. Mm-hmm. And I kept this a little bit more refined for me, but I thought would be right. Well, as adults, the other one is perfect, and the one I kept is too big, and we finished her and we're replacing her.
Love that.
So, you know, we all make mistakes,
right,
and,
right.
and we try to do the best we can, right. but genetics will throw you for a
8 weeks. You can do that 8 weeks, and then you can just close yeah. your eyes and say, I quit.
Yeah, yeah. So
the raising part and yeah. all the pieces that go into that. So stroking the tails when they're nursing.
Yeah.
Let's have some other ideas.
Well, so I've been doing this. I do a weekly class. Mm-hmm. It's a drop-in class. You come every week, Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m., bring your dogs, and we set up a ring, and you right. can be gone over, and we work on little things. But we have a lot of dogs that basically they're in the ring, and they're doing what they're supposed to do, but they're really not lead broken. And so lead breaking is a very important component, I think, for a lot of different reasons. One, to let the it factor show itself. And two, to train carriage and outline.
Yeah.
And so a lot of things I think I do unconventionally because it comes from a horse background
right.
with dressage. So mm-hmm. I take a lot of things from that and I use my horse background in the dogs mm-hmm. in training, both in carriage and outline and flexibility mm-hmm. and reach and drive and working mm-hmm. and using themselves mm-hmm. at both ends. And I do a lot of things with that. But for lead breaking, I train in circles only. So I never train. So think about this. If you have a brand new puppy and it's not lead broken and you put a lead on it, this is what the average person does. They put a lead on it. They put it high up, right behind the ears and above the Adam's apple, and they try to do a down and back. So you know, and I know, that dogs are the opposite of pressure. So if you're pulling them to go on a down and back and they are not lead broken and they're pulling away from you and you're trying to pull them back to you, but by you pulling them back, that makes them pull harder to the left.
We talk about this a lot.
Yes, it's an issue. So I never train on down and backs. You can't train a down and back if your dog isn't lead broken. Right out of the gate, you're training a bad habit. Mm-hmm. So I train on circles. I train on circles only to the right. Again, going back to dressage, they have to bend and flex to the right. I want their spine curved around me with the nose pointing to the inside of the circle. It does not work if the dog goes around the ring and is looking to the outside of the circle at everybody and the dogs and people and everything else.
La, la, la.
Yes. So it's difficult, but I started so young that it becomes second nature. Mm-hmm. They can be carrying a toy. Mm-hmm. You can use bait to keep their attention towards you. A squeaky toy, a clicking. I use a lot of clicking.
Horse people.
Yeah. So, and that works for things later down the road too. But I want them bending and flexing around me. So you can only usually do two or three before you get too dizzy and have to stop for a second. But I want them to have their own carriage. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you work on outline and not hanging on the lead. That's another issue that starts when you lead break. The puppies that go around gagging and hanging on the lead. So you really want to teach them how to carry themselves. And I think circles is the best way. And I always end with the dog, as you finish your circle, you're too dizzy to do another roundabout. Mm-hmm. So you always end with the dog coming around and facing straight forward. Always. Every time.
Straight into you.
And in the beginning, all they have to do is stop and they get paid for it. Mm-hmm. Paid meaning they get a treat. Mm-hmm. And because they're looking at me and they're stopped. Don't worry about the feet. That's another issue. Everybody gets into wanting to, again, pull, which then they want to go the other direction. I hope this makes sense.
No, it
on
makes
the radio.
Total sense to me.
Next time you're talking, yep.
Yeah.
Everything is for a reason. And a lot of it helps as you go on later in training and as they mature and you ask them to do other things.
Yeah. You're talking about them stopping. I always say body blocking when I'm teaching a free stack that they come directly into you because your body blocks forward progress.
Right.
And you can back them up.
Right.
Flexion.
Right.
You can walk them up. It's all of the same basic kind of stuff.
Yeah. And we get into, everybody always wants to know about the free stack too. How do you train a free stack? And the funny part is, well, it's not funny, but... people want it. They think you tell them how to do it and they just can go do it. And again, it might go back to the owner handle thing that it's time and effort and dedication and persistence that is put into something and it evolves. You just see the finished product in the ring. But that has started since they were baby puppies. And it's easy when you do that just a little bit at each time, always keeping it fun and light and happy.
And it's so much easier when they start when they're puppies than when they start when they're older.
Yes.
I mean, you and I get dogs all the time that someone else raised.
Yes.
And they don't have
that specialty.
6 months. Yes, it is. Specializing in those special needs dogs. They don't have that 6 months of work that you and I have put into our own dogs.
Right.
And so you have to start with a much further along the
path. Well, and you have to figure it out maybe a little bit differently because, again, goals are different. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the goal is just to get it finished as quickly as you can and you do what you have to. I love showing especially pointers or vishas, head and tail. I mean, that's classic.
Right.
That's I love doing it. Do I do that with every sporting dog? Because you're going to be like, she's a liar. She's showing it like a working dog. But sometimes you just have to get in there and do a job for a client and get something done. And if that's what you have to do, you have to do. So, but if I was training it from a baby, it would be on a table and I'd be doing my puppy thing, training it. Yeah.
Right. So love that. Okay. So what else? Now we're going to make a little mention about this because hopefully the audio gods will be with us. And our conversation that we're going to have this weekend here at the Mission Circuit will be something that we can get on the air. Don't hold me to this, guys. Don't call me a liar.
Let's hope so.
So talk a little tiny bit. I know we both have to run to groups, but talk a little tiny bit about what was the impetus for that and where are we thinking this is going to go?
Well, I think there was a post on Facebook basically that was just Bill Shelton was saying, you know, I'm over this. I'm over the doom and gloom and everybody's saying dog shows are going down the tubes. They're not going to be around in 10 years, whatever. And someone else was saying, we were saying that 40 years ago. You know, I mean, you know, right? So it's all relative. Yes, we have some other issues now that we're going against, mainly the AR, the animal rights propagandas that are fighting against the adopt and the shelter dogs. That's what they want. And they don't want purebred dogs. So that's kind of where it was. And I threw it out there on Facebook, said, hey, let's have us meet and have a round table and let's talk about this. But let's get past all the negative part of it. We all know it now. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Have a think tank and throw out real answers and real questions and try to figure out how we can move this forward. How can we move our sport forward in a positive manner? Now, one of the things I've noticed through the years, and I've talked with different people about this, is we have handlers, we have professional handlers, and we have what I term dog jockeys, which are people that handle dogs, can do a very nice job, but maybe they don't live at 24/7 at home. And I don't know, I also think of a lot of handlers, a lot of the top handlers, if you look at them, they have breeding programs at home. And a lot of the new handlers do not breed dogs. And a lot of the younger generation handlers that go from juniors that aren't apprenticing for people and going straight in are not interested in breeding dogs. I know of some very good, talented handlers, but I bet you anything they won't be breeding dogs. We've lost the next generation of breeders. In my program with the Parent Club for Juniors, I talk about that with them. And great, a lot are going on to college and doing other things. So before, our sport was designed to evaluate breeding stock. It still is, but we have this other fraction of people that we need to encourage that enjoy purebred dogs, but they're not going to be breeders. And some we may be able to get into breeding, not all of them, but we have two. They enjoy showing. They enjoy buying their next puppy and bringing it along.
This is people who want to have purebred dogs. Right. This should be a great place for them to be as well.
But we need to encourage both ends. Yeah. We need to encourage what makes those people happy and involved in all the wonderful disciplines that AKC offers, you know, for our purebred dogs. But we also need to think about the juniors and how can we bring them along. I think it's really important. You and I were talking about the FAA and 4-H programs and having classes on how to evaluate stock and talking about how to breed dogs and in real basic
and
genetic stuff.
Pure Dog Talk, that we were invited next week. Actually, we're having a junior seminar on evaluating a litter of puppies.
We have fabulous.
We have two litters of puppies.
Oh, that's great.
That we're going to have.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, that's
good.
What we're doing up in Washington. My understanding, we have a litter of dachshunds and a litter of smooth fox terriers.
Yeah, I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, so different types, different breeds, different.
And I this think is something we need to get them excited about this other aspect and how they can do it and produce something that they'll be proud of and then train it and then bring it to the ring.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's something we've all done forever.
And I think it also makes them better exhibitors.
Absolutely.
Because they understand what
the hard work.
The hard work and what the judge is looking at. If you're judging dogs, if you're learning how to judge dogs as a junior, you have a better understanding of what the judge is looking for when you show later on in the breeding ring and in your breeding program.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I think people need to stop being apathetic, basically. And they can talk negatively about our sport and the judging process and the judges that are coming up, which I think we do need some change.
Discussion is valid.
But we need to give them options of how we think it could be improved.
Well, and I think one of the things that has been fascinating for me as I've been doing these podcasts, every single person, every guest I have on, I ask them, okay, so what would you do? Mm-hmm. How would you make it better? What's your best advice? What's your encouragement? And everybody has ideas. And I love that there are so many things going on right now. This, Out of the Clear Blue Sky, and Lee Whittier, and the podcast, and all of these things that's like our generation, you and I, and this level, this group, all of a sudden we're like, oh, hello.
Yes, that's true. It's
really interesting.
It's almost like a changing of the guard.
It is.
And now
this
hopefully
mushroom.
Our generation will step forward and start
and
to.
And I think, to me, that is super critical, that what you just said. Mm-hmm. We need to step up.
Mm-hmm. I do. I believe that. Yeah. And that's where this all came about for Sunday is, you know, let's sit down, throw out some ideas, see if anybody comes up with any good ideas, and implement them. We have to follow through with the next step.
And therein lies, you know, the question. Okay, so where do we go from from here, and how do we implement that, and what can we, us, just average person, what can we do?
And I think there's a lot of things on very small scales that you and I are doing and have done and continue to do, both with our own breeds and bringing puppy people in and encouraging them. And we started a short hair club that has been defunct for 20 some years. We reinitiated it and got it going. And because a lot of the other clubs, there's sometimes a lot of drama and different things. And so we started this club with the idea of having it like it was 20 years ago. We have 50 members.
Nice.
50 members.
In Southern California?
The other clubs are
I'm not sure we have 50 members in all the wire hair clubs in the country.
Yeah, but it's every, it's field people, it's obedience people, it's confirmation people. We're doing fun days. I remember going to fun days.
Fun days.
Do you remember fun days?
Yes. Oh my God, they're the
best.
That's
how I remember, that's how I learned about confirmation.
Right.
In a dirt ring out in a field with someone that was teaching a show class. I had never, didn't know anything about it. And I took my first short hair to it because we also took her out to the lake to do
water retrieve.
We took her out in the field to do pointing. I didn't do obedience, but they had an obedience ring. But that was fun, and it encourages people because not everybody likes the show end of it. Yeah. So let's encourage everybody with purebred dogs to get involved in
and
all these wonderful
have more
other
purebred
things.
Dogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and make purebred dogs the wonderful things that they are.
Yeah.
Make that out into society. I think it's then that pushing that out into society.
Well, and that's the hard part. That's what we have to get past, and that's where the AR groups come in and
but
the shelter.
Then it comes on us. We have to take our passion and share it.
We do. And like, okay, Bill McFadden's told you about the cereal box thing.
Right.
I mean,
I love
come
that.
On.
I love
like,
that.
Like, how has AKC not picked that up? I don't know. Do you eat cereal in the morning?
Yes.
Okay, I remember as a young kid.
Absolutely, when Bill told me that story,
and
I was like, oh my God.
You're reading the back of
the
cereal
box.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how great would it be to have a different purebred dog
breed?
Yes.
Nestle.
Yeah, Nestle, exactly. Every month, a beautiful purebred dog on the back of Cheerios and have some fun facts about that breed, and then have some fun facts about what it does and sponsor whatever AKC, agility, dock diving, barn hunts, you name it.
And,
you know, settings, therapy dog. I mean, it's endless. And then where to go to find out just a little bit more, AKC.org or whatever
National
else.
NationalBreedClub.org.
National Parent Clubs.
Yes. And I think...
God, it's so simple. That
I know,
to me seems like...
You and I sitting here talking is the same with Susie Zeremi. National Purebred Dog Day. She and I are like, you know, talking about
so
all
much.
Of the things that are available to do.
And there's so much they could do pretty easily.
I think
pretty
there's a lot of stuff.
So they need to step up to the plate too.
Yeah.
To support us, but also to support their own businesses and their own AKC and, you know, any of these dog food companies. I mean, Nestle, that's like a no-brainer, you know.
M&M's, the back of the M&M's bag.
Oh my God, how fun would that be?
Totally awesome.
Hire us. We can do the marketing
for
them.
Absolutely. Two journalism majors right here. We got this. High five, pal. Boom. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I sure appreciate you joining us. Have a good day.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.